Welcome to Nine Bob Note with Paul Isles Rush and Ken Moss.
Hello and welcome to Nine Bob Note. I'm Paul.
And I'm Ken.
Hello.
Hello.
Ken, you are in the driver's seat, so without further ado.
Philip Schofield.
Now,
for those of you who don't know, where the hell have you been? Philip Schofield, TV presenter, personality, host for God knows how many years, best part of 40 years. I started off on Children's BBC in the broom cupboard with Gordon the Gopher, and you and I both grew up with him, and then he moved on to, I can't remember how there was this cosmic leap, because he sort of did Saturday morning stuff. And then he ended up on This Morning.
Yeah.
The transition, just he was dyed hair one day and then his natural grey, because he's been grey since about 25, I think.
Yeah.
A very youthful looking man. Is he early 60s now? I think 61, maybe 62, possibly, something like that. Yeah. But he's a very, very well-preserved man and always has been. He's barely aged. But recently on This Morning, he has been... He came out as gay a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And his wife and family were aware of this. The reasons why he came out are all... I don't think we've ever been told. I think it was implied that
rumors,
somebody was going to out him in a tabloid. Now, he himself has denied that recently in an interview, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, he came out. That was only a few years ago. And he still wears his wedding ring, still lives with his wife, I believe. Whatever his personal setup is. But within the past few months, he has been pushed out quite publicly from presenting This Morning. All his contracts have been cancelled with all the people that he's involved with. A rapid, rapid fall from grace to the point where he's basically unemployable now because he had an affair with a much younger colleague. I think he was 18 at the time when they had a dalliance or two at work. Purely consensual. There was no suggestion of impropriety. And the young lad involved, Philip Schofield said in an interview, he can speak out if he wants, but I'm not going to name him. And, you know, he should respect his privacy because he didn't ask to be in the spotlight. Yeah. So it's all been very gentlemanly from Philip Schofield's point of view. I am just at a complete loss as to what the beef is with it. I've tried and tried to get my head around what the problem is as to why this man needs to be cancelled. You are more in tune with this sort of thing than I am. What the hell is going on?
It's one of those situations that, once again, are Bluebird is largely responsible for, but also the tabloid media and our friends at the Daily Mail. I think, well, first of all, a lot of it started when the Queen died and there was the whole
queue
jumping. Yeah. And I don't know why, because there were a load of people who got a celebrity pass who didn't have to queue up. And yes, there were people like David Beckham who did queue up for hours and hours, but there were people who jumped the queue. And those two actually were doing it as part of a piece for This Morning.
They didn't have 8 hours to stand around because they were filming.
Yeah, but there was this huge backlash against them on that. And apparently his relationship with Holly Willoughby has been on the decline since then. I think one of the main issues is that this person who he was having an affair with, I mean, yes, Philip Schofield was married at the time. His wife didn't know he was gay. Nobody knew he was gay. And he did have an affair. That's not the first time that that's happened. And it's very rarely resulted in people being forced out of work. We had a prime minister who's even when he was in office as prime minister, was cheating on his various wives.
You heard it here second.
So it's not the fact that he was unfaithful to his wife, because nobody else gets a reaction like that. Yes, it wasn't very nice, and maybe it would have harmed his image. I think, first of all, there is the suggestion that it's because he's gay, and so that makes it even more disgusting. But also, this person was a lot younger than him. And I think, although there's all different kinds of rumours and stuff, and the idea is that he groomed this person and he promised him loads of things. So I'll get you on in TV if you sleep with me, essentially. And of course, the rumours are all, he started work at ITV when he was 12, and that was when he's like, who starts work at ITV when they're 12? Don't be stupid. But Philip Schofield has said that they did meet when he was
15.
15, yeah. But they
there
didn't
was nothing. This didn't start until he was 18.
Yeah.
So I've got a major problem with this. Yes, there's an age gap, but he's of the age of consent.
Mm.
Philip Schofield is not some pervy old man. He is, as I've said, a very, very well-preserved 60-year-old man. I don't know many 60-year-olds that look like that.
No.
Now, with the best exercise regime in the world and drinking nothing but pure mountain water, he's just very genetically lucky, I think, because he's always looked like that.
Mm.
And but my beef about this is that it's from the outside, bear in mind I wasn't there, but from the outside, it's just so massively unfair.
Mm.
I personally don't think it's anything to do with him being gay. I just think it's utter delight that somebody at the top of their game can be brought down so easily.
Yeah.
And people are just delighted by this. Were all the hashtag be kind people now, after Caroline Flack topped herself, there was this huge, oh, well, oh God, people were so cruel to her. We should have seen this coming. And, you know, yes, it's a cruel world. We should have been more tolerant and kind and reached out and helped her. Philip Schofield's in bits now.
Yeah.
And people are delighted by this.
Yeah. To the extent that Caroline Flack's mum had made a statement saying...
Did she?
Yeah, saying, you know what happened to Caroline. You're doing exactly the same thing to Philip Schofield now. And it's going to go the same way. And to some extent, it has maybe died down a little bit. But the damage has been done. As you say, it's unemployable.
But for what reason? This is the thing I can't get my head around. For what it's so easy now to cancel somebody just because there's this trial by social media. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
As the bosses of ITV would have been straight out in the open if there'd been something underage, if he was on the child sex register, by he'd been put on the offenders register as a result of his behaviour. He's not. To the best of my knowledge, he's not. And I'm sure that that would have been all over the papers if he had. I'm sure there would have been a statement from the, well, I said boy, the man himself, or his parents.
Yeah.
If it had been some sort of grossly traumatising experience, it doesn't sound like it was. And then you've got Holly Willoughby milking the story for everything that's...
Mm.
Her and that fake smile can fuck right off, because I've never been a particular fan of hers. Even going back to something like Celebrity Juice, which I saw, and now again, I'd catch one of those when they were at the peak. And there was her on one side and
Fern Cotton.
I want to call her Nostrils, because that was what she used to get. But Fern Cotton was throwing herself into it and was really game, and Holly Willoughby never really was.
Mm.
In the same way, so Ulrika Johnson and Mark Lamar were that sort of dynamic going on. And she has milked this for everything it's worth, as if Philip Schofield somehow held her back or damaged her, sociologically scarred her by association. And you think, it's just somebody who had an affair with a work colleague, love. You know, dry your eyes.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it, I think, is damage limitation.
My career.
Yeah. But she has joined in with everyone else and just completely thrown him under the bus. Yes, he might have lied to you, but, you know, people do tell lies all the time. He said, look, I'm sorry, what I did was not great and I shouldn't have lied to you, but you can kind of understand why I did lie to you, because I was married and, you know...
And it's got nothing to do with my work. It's just a... I mean, there was also, it's very poor timing, but his brother has also been convicted of something. Is that child sex offences or something?
Yeah, I don't know whether it was sort of internet images or anything, but he's been jailed for quite a long time.
Yeah. That's not his fault.
No.
You know, you can't be blamed for the actions of your extended family. And, you know, oh, he didn't tell me. He didn't tell me about all this. Well, again, have you heard the latest? My brother's a pedo.
Yeah.
People are entitled to have a private life away from... There's reams of stuff that I wouldn't tell my work colleagues about my private life, past or present. And why should I? It's none of anybody else's business, and their lives are none of my business. It doesn't affect work, and it doesn't affect me. It's none of my bloody business. And then to come out and cry about it, well, I was there, and I was almost traumatised by... There's a lot of heavy lifting nowadays, traumatised.
Mm, yeah, the phrase witch hunt has been used quite a lot. And
not unfairly.
No, as you say, if there had been any hint of anything illegal or anything, you know, anything like that. Yeah, as he said, it was ill-advised. But the police haven't been involved, or if they have investigated, he's definitely not been charged with anything. And as you say, ITV, all the people connected with him, would have done everything that they could to distance themselves and would have made a firm statement, especially in the light of, like, you know, the Jimmy Savile.
Well, yeah.
So all of the focus on it has just been, well, he just repeatedly lied to us.
I'm not sure he lied. I'm just not sure that he completely exposed every inch of his private life. That's quite a different thing.
Well, apparently he was asked several times, and particularly by the bosses at ITV. Mm. They did ask him, you know, did anything happen between you? And he did tell them. And he's said that himself. I did lie about it.
Oh, right. But again, understandable. It's not like he's covered up a crime.
No.
He's just trying to protect his own private life. I am, if it's not come across, I'm very firmly on Team Phil for this. And the rest of them really can foxtrot Oscar. There's a lot of crocodile tears been cried over this. And if anything, you would think that that young lad, he should have been at the centre of it saying how, oh, God, oh. But he hasn't.
No.
I don't even know the name of him, and I don't need to.
No, I think he has been named by the social media police. but it does stink of a witch hunt. And whatever happens now, there's always going to be that. So he is always going to...
Well, he's finished now.
Yeah.
Over nothing. And that's my beef.
Mm, yeah. He's definitely not the first person to have had an affair whilst married. He's definitely not the first person to have lied to his boss. I mean... This doesn't mean that I lie to my boss, but...
Are you listening out there? Don't trust this man. Or me either.
Yeah, it just seems like such a shame. But it's really weird. Why have they picked on this one thing? Yeah, we talked in a much earlier episode about, like, fake outrage and, you know, and that kind of thing, where people just sort of latch on to them. So as I said, this started off, and, you know, as soon as he announced that he was stepping down from This Morning, then the rumours started. So that's when it's like, oh, yeah, well, that's because he slept with a 12-year-old boy. And it's like, no. But I hope that we can stand by this episode. You know, I really don't think that there's going to be anything.
This episode will be pulled in future when it's...
Right, I have to issue a statement. At least we can use that Holly Willoughby. Firstly, are you okay?
God. You've just actually, on the gay note, you've just made me realise that I have actually lied in job applications. I have in the past 12 months, well, a bit longer, 18 months, I have lied horrifically on application forms because I started to wonder why. Because the jobs I'm applying for, I got considerable experience in. I was like, why am I being knocked back? And then I realised, 45, white, straight man. So I started putting gay Muslim on my applications. Bang, 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 interview. Hello, you tick our minority boxes, we'll have you. And I just thought that correlation was a little bit too big to ignore. That as soon as I started identifying as a gay Muslim, I was interview worthy. Yes.
Then hugely disappointing when you turn up for the interview.
Hi, everybody. Shalom. No, that's Jewish. Oh,
now I'm going to...
Shit.
Can I start that again?
So dragging us back. Oh, sorry for laughing, Mr. Schofield. It's not you. I'm going to rate this in feather boas. Now, this is indicative of something a little bit wider. Take Philip Schofield out of it slightly. It is coming back to cancel culture, just how very easy it is to cancel somebody. This case in particular, as far as I'm concerned, is the worst example so far. And as such, I'm going to give it 5. Ooh. Because, I mean, who'd be famous now? It's just too easy to cancel somebody when they've not done anything illegal or wrong.
Yeah.
You can't class an age difference as wrong.
No. And I'm not saying it's because he's gay, but if it had been an 18-year-old woman that he'd had an affair with... everyone would have been like, hey, go Phil.
I'm not too sure. I can see where you're coming from, but I'm not too sure. I think because it still would have been young girl. Now, if it had been the other way around, if it had been...
Holly Willoughby having an affair.
That would be a difficult wank. She's not for me. But if you're right, okay, so if it had been her having an affair with an 18-year-old lad, I think that would have been perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
It should have been a cougar.
Yeah, like Caroline Flack and Harry Styles.
Really? They were a thing?
Mm, briefly.
I've got to say that on balance, he did very well for himself. Good grief. She was a strikingly beautiful woman. Yeah, but I do think there's a lot of, I agree with you to an extent, gender-wise. I'm not convinced it's the sexuality thing. That's just, I just look at this whole situation and think it's the joy, the absolute delight of bringing someone down at the top of the game.
Yeah.
Look how easy we toppled that one.
Who's next
sort of thing? And who'd be famous now?
Not me.
For all you kids out there that want to be famous, just beware. How many are you giving it out of 5?
I agree. It's something that is important. And I mean, it's had such a huge effect on him, but also because he's just someone who's always been there. I'm not a huge Philip Schofield fan. My husband, Stuart, cannot stand the man. Like, largely because when we went on holiday, when we were in Wales, actually, we had the radio on, and every commercial break in the radio, he was on that. Hi, I'm Philip Schofield.
We Buy Any Car, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yes. It was, yeah. But yeah, I think it is important, and it's something that is going to no doubt be repeated with
infinite the next poor
number of
bastard.
People, yeah,
yes.
So just sort of stay out of the firing line. So I'm going to give it 4.
Fair enough.
Because it's not as important as Heartstopper.
I think it's time for a Twitter twatter.
It's about time.
That's my opinion!
My target this time is Dr. Emily Zobel Marshall.
Ooh.
Just a bit of background. She's a reader in post-colonial literature, teaching courses on African-American, Caribbean African, and Black British literature at the School of Cultural Studies and Humanities at Leeds Beckett University. There's not a breath deep enough I can take for this.
Oh, no.
She's starting to target children's stories. And she started with Beatrix fucking Potter. Yes, Peter Rabbit apparently is the absolute embodiment of British colonialism.
Right. Yeah, you're going to have to...
Well, because he wears a blue coat.
Right.
Because he steals from Mr. McGregor's garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mr. McGregor chases him out of the garden. All these are symbolic of British colonialism.
Why have we never noticed this
before? I don't know. So I would like to dump her head first, super compressed into the bin. Anybody that has got this sort of attitude of historical revision that you're going through everything now and turning it into, it's always British colonialism. For some reason. We have moved on. You know, these books were written 100 years ago. And I really don't think they were anything to do with colonialism. I think they were just animals, animal stories for the kiddies.
Yeah.
But why are you reading into the, she's going after Frozen now.
Ooh.
You're on dangerous ground there, love.
Yeah, don't mess with Frozen.
It's just knocking the joy out of everything. Yes. That there must be some hidden subtext that we've never seen before and we should cancel it. There's a trend at the minute, I believe, in some quarters to rewrite children's books. Roald Dahl's had a bit of a makeover and this has not gone down well at all.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think with the Roald Dahl one, that is slightly different because... Although the ones that are in the papers are very extreme versions, and obviously Roald Dahl's books have been re-edited many times over the years. I saw an example on Twitter. I can't remember. I think it was The Twits when it was first published, and then, you know, a version of it from the, you know, 1980s or whatever, and then a version of it now. And the language has been changed. But the examples that have surfaced recently are just, it is ridiculous. I think one of them was George's Marvelous Medicine.
It was, yes.
Because they didn't want to encourage children to murder their grandma.
One that somehow slipped the net, and bear in mind, Roald Dahl was, you know, he was a British writer, but there was a line in, I think it was Matilda, and it was something about one of these characters, I think it was Matilda's dad, was going on in a rage about sitting there on your fanny. Well, that means something quite different on this side of the pond as it does in America. So why it was in an English book, I don't know. Mm. But that's never been... I remember it being shocking me at the time, thinking, really? That's 10 years old. I'm a delicate flower. I can't be reading words like that in print. Mm. So yeah, but that's never been mentioned. So no. It's very odd. But
yeah.
But I just don't like all this historical revision and, you know, everything's got to be a symbol of how we should rise up as a British power and gain back the empire. They're just kiddies' books.
Yeah.
Leave them the hell alone, please.
Kids have been reading Beatrix Potter for a number of years, and so far, touch wood.
You see, this is why we had things like Dunblane. Because they'd been reading those books from an early age.
Yes.
No one had been censoring them.
No.
The Hungry Caterpillar just strode through, taking whatever he wanted, and then came off at the end, the beautiful butterfly. What sort of lesson is that teaching kids? Just take, well, help yourself. There's no comebacks. Cancelled.
Yeah, so she, Dr. What's-her-name, can get in the bin, along with all the other...
Ringo Zabel, yes.
Well, there you go. A nice bit of a rant to finish us off, but a worthy one. But we'll be back, well, soon.
When I can get around to editing one, yes.
Yeah. Who knows?
Bye, very kids. Busy. Don't read those books now.
No.
Stop Press... We have a third contributor.
Hello.
Hello, and who are you?
We have met before.
For the benefits of the boys and girls at home.
I'm Simon Exton.
Hi, Simon.
Hello. gaydar pinged.
And then you just appeared here in the room.
Clicked his lilac slippers together.
We posh have been... DMs, thank you very much. Have you seen my posh DMs?
No. Wow.
Aren't these fantastic?
They're amazing.
Van Gogh's sunflowers.
They are fairly impressive.
Yeah.
So I don't have lilac slippers. Thank you very much.
Getting back...
Sorry, you wanted this to be quick, didn't you?
Getting back to the subject in hand, this is a separate recording session, but you have suggested a Nine Bob Note topic, and it just happens to be one that we've just recorded.
We've been talking about Philip Schofield, but you have no idea what we said, apart from... I imagine that you probably infer some of the things that we've said.
I mean, I think everybody knows what's gone on with Philip Schofield, and there's been the normal amount of vitriol and victimisation in the press. But the question I have is that if he was straight and it was a female researcher that he'd had an affair with, would there be this amount of drama and would he have been sacked?
We have just discussed this. For the benefit of the recording, we recorded this episode a couple of days ago, and Simon is up for the weekend at Podcasting House to record other stuff, largely gin-related.
Paul, gin-fueled.
My take on this is now on record that I don't think it's purely a gay thing. My view on it, as I have said, is I think it's just the absolute delight of a lot of people being able to bring down Philip Schofield just because he's at the top of his game, gay or otherwise. It's a man, there's an age gap. I think the age gap is a thing they're all latching onto because it is quite an age gap. I think if it had been the other way around, if it had been a woman and an 18-year-old lad, it would have almost been cougar. I personally, in this instance, think it's more a joy of bringing somebody down rather than he's gay.
I think it would have been different. Since he came out, there's been rumours straight away, oh, he was forced to come out because, you know, this story about him grooming this 12-year-old boy who was an executive at ITV at the age of 12. So I think there's been people waiting for this to come out. And I think a lot of that is because they don't like the fact that he is gay. I do agree... If it had been an 18-year-old girl, given the current climate, I don't think the reaction would have been that much different. Quite the same as it was when they found out it was an 18-year-old bloke.
Whereas I think, Because the biggest thing that's been made about this hasn't actually been the age difference. It's been the fact that he lied about the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it had been a woman, he wouldn't have had to lie about the relationship, and that wouldn't have triggered all of that.
Again, I do think he would have lied about it if he'd been straight, because of the age difference and because there is such this hysteria now. Even though 18 is...
I don't think he would have lied to his bosses about it.
No.
I think that is true. He might have tried to keep it out of the newspapers or whatever, but I don't think he would have lied to his bosses in the way that he has, because... it was a gay relationship.
I am not at all convinced by this. And the reason I say that is because of the outright glee in the media that they've brought this man down. I mean, yes, it's been publicised that it's a young lad, but nobody's really gone out and said, gay man predating on a young, impressionable lad wrestling with his sexuality at 18. There's been none of that. It's just been, like you said, Simon, lied to his wife. Now, again, we've covered this ground. It's not the first person who's lied about an affair at work. It's fuck all to do with his actual work. He's done nothing illegal. There's been no impropriety. There's been no hint that this is assault or grooming. Well, certainly not from him or indeed the young lad that's been involved with him. In this case, do not think it's anything to do with him being gay. I think it's just the absolute outright glee. Let's see if we can bring this man down. And it annoys me because he's done nothing wrong. That is the thing that annoys me more than anything else.
Do you think, though, and obviously this goes very much against what we discussed earlier in the episode, but do you think that glee comes from the fact that he's
a bender, gay,
you know? Yeah,
yeah.
So the Daily Mail and the likes.
No, because they're gleeful whenever anybody's brought down,
but oh, yeah. not to this extent.
No, not to this extent.
It doesn't drag on as long as it has done. Well, you don't have in mind, oh, what's that gurning arsehole's name? The one who lost his job for talking about vaccine denial. Is it Eamon Holmes?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to mention...
I'm about to.
Fingers on buttons.
But he is absolutely delighted. And part of it will be getting his face back on the telly. But he does seem to be absolutely delighting in Philip Schofield's downfall.
He's thrilled.
Again, I don't... There's no... The tone of all the people that have been dancing on his TV grave, it's not been... Well, we knew this man was a sexual predator. We knew that this, you know, he had a taste for young boys. And because that's what they would have done. It would have gone on about homosexuality. And it's not really been a thing. It's just been, we don't like this guy.
But you wouldn't expect somebody to be vitriolic about his sexuality, because that's a good way of losing your own job.
True. But the tabloids don't have that filter. They can print whatever the fuck they like and then print a 3-inch tiny 8-point peaker apology on page 2 the morning after, and then they've covered all the legal bases. The tabloids haven't gone after him for being gay. It's more the fact that he is the absolute king of daytime TV. He's all over everything. Television awards, the...
Cube.
There is that, I suppose. Yeah.
He's lost his gin sponsorship.
And We Buy Any Car, lest we forget.
Hello, I'm Philip Schofield.
Do you want Stu's blood pressure to go through the roof? I'm just not convinced in this case that it's to do with him being gay. Now, if you look at somebody like Kevin Spacey, who they've relentlessly gone after, no convictions as yet, absolutely no convictions. Plenty of accusations.
There might be just seem to. By the time this episode. Yeah,
that is true. Okay. For the point of recording, there is a trial ongoing. But what I mean.
But there is a massive difference between those two, an absolutely massive difference.
But why is there a massive difference?
Because in the Kevin Spacey case, the victim has made a complaint. In the Philip Schofield case, the victim has made no complaint whatsoever. And in fact, Philip Schofield has said, I have done everything I possibly could, and in fact, more than I should have done, to keep this young man out of it and to keep all of this attention away from his family, and I have unwisely lied.
He's done a bloody good job of it, though, because I still don't know the lad's name. I have no interest in knowing the lad's name. But Philip Schofield, for all that this guy is, you know, he's been shredded. And it's all, the focus has all been on, he's lied to his wife, he lied to the boy. Nothing's been about, he had an affair with a young lad. It's not...
Yeah, but you wouldn't expect them to say that.
Yes, you would. Oh, God almighty, the hysteria about any hint of paedophilia nowadays.
Oh, no, but he's not...
But there isn't any hint of paedophilia.
No.
The bloody well is. They've raked up that he was 15, and that's been quiet. Immediately, that's died a death. Whereas with anybody else, they'd have gone after it and after it and after it, and they would have mined that for all it's worth. The whole focus of this has been, he lied to his wife, you know, and he had an affair at work, and he didn't fess up about it when he was asked.
Yeah, but
how many other people have done that?
They can't say, oh, we've asked him to leave this morning because we don't like the fact that he's gay. And that's not the reason. So literally the only thing that he's done that's wrong
is lie.
But... as we said, he's not the first person. So what is the only thing that's different about this lie compared to, I don't know...
Because, and I have looked at this... but I have looked at this from afar and just kept an eye on it because I knew that it was going to come up at some point or other.
I guess you're obsessed with Holly Willoughby.
I'm afraid not even if I put it in a splint. It's just this glee. He's not done anything seriously wrong. He's lied about a personal relationship in a work environment. Why would you fess up? No, but if you were having an affair with somebody at work and your boss turned around and said, you're a bit close to that Stefan. You're not nailing him, are you? I'm sure that immediately you would fess up.
There's no denying my attraction for Stefan Levine. No.
I really hope there's nobody called Stefan at your place, otherwise the can is now open. So I just cannot blame the man for that. And he's done nothing illegal, he's done nothing outside the law. But the first sniff of a chink in the armour, all the vultures started circling. Willoughby, straight in there.
Oh, she threw him right under
the bus. The guy's done nothing wrong. He's done fuck all wrong. It really, really pisses me off. And I've said this on a previous podcast, that it's too easy to shred somebody's reputation for absolutely nothing. Noel Clark, I'll come back to that when I mentioned on a previous podcast. He was cleared. He was cleared of every single one of his convictions, of his accusation. Absolutely cleared. The guy was shredded overnight. His TV series that was on at the time was pulled. His award was pulled. He was not gay, and yet they went after, they delighted in going after him.
But there were actually accusations.
There were accusations,
which there haven't been with Philip Schofield.
I agree, but I just don't see that it's anything to do with him being gay. I just think it's this culture that we've wandered into that now, the first sniff of somebody not liking something, whether it's an accusation or, ooh, there's a hint there that this could lose us ratings or something, bang, you're gone. It doesn't matter what the situation is. You look across the board now, it's so jittery across the board. Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. Amber Heard, on tape, admitted that she assaulted Johnny Depp. It was on tape, it was in the trial. He got his contract cancelled, she kept it. Now, what the fuck is wrong with the world where somebody admits a crime and keeps the contract, somebody's proved innocent and loses it? That is the nature of the thing.
Except he wasn't proved innocent, was he?
It certainly came out in his favour, but it was just the delight, the initial delight. Johnny Depp, you know, Johnny Depp, he's going to go down for this. Without knowing a single fact, the delight that this man could be pulled down. So why, even though it ruled 90% in his favour, why did he come off worse? Because he's the bigger star. Because it's just more interesting to kill off somebody who's a bigger star. Schofield's a bigger star than Willoughby.
But the whole thing about the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing is that it was all played out very publicly in court. Mm. Philip Schofield has been nowhere near a court of law over this. There isn't a victim.
No, there isn't.
But he's still being lynched over it.
Well, there wasn't a victim in the Amber Heard case. They were both guilty of something. Neither of them came out squeaky clean, but it came out very definitely in Johnny Depp's favour. And yet
it was ruled in his favour.
Well, yeah, but the support for him was overwhelming. And that what was presented in court...
So does that mean we should have a trial by popularity?
No, but the evidence in court was overwhelmingly, yes, I've made mistakes, and yes, I'll admit to this, this, and this, the stuff that she was caught on tape doing, she denied, and he still loses his contract. I just see, all I see is a witch hunt, a blood hunt, that the bigger the prize, that's the one they'll go after. Whether or not there's actually any meat on the bones, that's the one they'll go after.
That I agree with. And there has very definitely been a witch hunt against Philip Schofield for no fault whatsoever. And when you listen to the things that he said, everything he said is perfectly reasonable. Might not be, in hindsight, a wise thing to have done, but that's exactly what he said about it as well. Mm. I don't think a similar level of issue from a straight perspective, whether it was an older woman going after a younger fella or whether it was an older fella going after a young woman, I don't think it would drag up this level of vitriol. Okay, they might lose their job over it, but there wouldn't still be this ongoing level of vitriol. And, you know, within the last few days, it's all been dragged up again because he's been to the bedside of his... Is his mother dying or just very ill?
She's very ill, apparently.
Yeah. But he's gone to do a hospital vigil and it's dragged the whole lot up again.
It does go, because we mentioned sort of briefly earlier on about how if it had been the other way around, so if it had been Holly Willoughby, so taking Philip Schofield completely out of the equation, if it had been Holly Willoughby and she had had an affair with the same bloke, you know, when he was 18, 19 or whatever, she would have just gone on this morning using the same, firstly, are you okay, speech. And then everyone would have gone, oh, bless her, at least she's, you know, at least she'd owned up to what she did. I think she's okay. And I don't know whether that's because it's her, and as you say, whether because she's not as dramatic a figure as Philip Schofield, yeah, or whether it's because Philip Schofield's gay and she's not. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think that she would have been forced out of her job for doing that.
Well, she is scrabbling like a fish on a hook to keep her job. She has not exactly basted herself in glory this past couple of months by...
There's buses everywhere, yes, people under them.
Get under that.
And when it's getting to the point where you've got Piers Morgan...
Fuck!
When it's getting to the point where you've got Piers Morgan defending
not
you...
Not if said and, again!
And saying that things are going too far and he's being witch-hunted. Piers Morgan.
Currently in the middle of his latest Meghan Markle witch hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter if she kills herself.
I refuse to agree with anything that man has said on principle because he's such a hateful twat.
Well, generally I would agree with you over that, but every so often he comes out with... There was somebody else that he defended.
There is a mute button on this mixing desk.
There are all sorts of buttons on this mixing desk.
He's found the gay alarm. I can see your perspective, the pair of you, you both said it, and I can understand why you would think that. I personally just think it's the absolute delight that people have taken in bringing down a man who is at the top of his game, and he isn't the first, he won't be the last.
But they haven't just brought him down, they brought him down and kicked him while he's in the gutter.
Oh, yeah, true, but he will not be the last. And gay, straight or otherwise, he's not an exception. I can take your point, and I can see all the reasons why you've made the points you've made, that it's because he's gay. I don't see it, largely because he's such a well-loved figure. Now, regardless of what the media have said and what fucking Twitter said, the man is well-liked. The tone of this podcast has been, we can't see the problem.
I wonder if, when you think about things like Jimmy Savile, who was a straight, white bloke, and that all came out, and everyone was like, oh, this is horrific, this is horrific. And then there was a list of people who had committed similar crimes to Jimmy Savile, who, for the most part, were straight and white. Because you talked about Noel Clarke, you talked about Philip Schofield. If there's sort of some kind of undercurrent of people saying, well, it can't just be straight white people who are paedophiles, and you know, or who are evil. So as soon as anyone does anything that's got even any sniff of impropriety, so Philip Schofield, gay, oh, we'll find something on him. Noel Clarke, black, we'll find something on him.
Oh, I think, again, I think you're reading a bit too much into it. I think it's just the case of that there is a knee-jerk reaction across the media at the minute that, and I can't see it getting any better, frankly, the first sniff of something, right or wrong, true or false, we can't have that, you're cancelled, mate. Bye. And admittedly, this is the flimsiest argument for getting rid of somebody that I've seen so far, because as you've said, that at least with the others who were accusations made, even the ones that were disproved, it doesn't matter. Gay, straight or other, it does not matter. They're still shredded. Dave Lee Travis, he was accused and accused and accused on the back of this yew tree thing. Every single thing was disproved or thrown out, or there's not enough evidence, or there's just no proof.
And with him, as far as I could see, the only accusation or the only basis behind the accusations was he was a Radio 1 DJ at the same time,
yeah,
and they must all be the same.
Yeah. But it cost him his entire fortune to defend himself. And then they kept going, and they just kept coming and coming and coming. And there's no basis for it whatsoever. So this person now that is innocent in the eyes of the law, nobody will touch him. And it's not fair, because it's just too damned easy to bring somebody down, to accuse somebody in public. You've got the safety of anonymity, because within the law as it stands at the minute, somebody can make a sexual assault claim. They are, by default, protected by anonymity in perpetuity. So you can say whatever you like about whoever you like. I know there's no accusation in this case, but it's just the fact that it's too easy to bring somebody down over fuck all. And Philip Schofield is the latest casualty. Who'd be famous?
No, Philip Schofield is now famous for the wrong reasons. I'm glad we kept this snappy.
So am I.
Thanks, everybody.
I'll just go away and edit the thing. I'll see you next Christmas.
Simon, it's been really interesting to hear your side of things, because
it's almost exactly the same side that we put forward.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is. It's interesting because we've all got almost exactly the same opinion, but all different ways of approaching it.
And I have to stress, boys and girls, Simon has come to the table quite literally and surprised us with this topic. We had no discussion about it previously. Paul and I did not discuss it individually, but when we do these recordings, it's literally we do not know what the topic's going to be, and that's been the case in this point. I just find it very telling that we've all got pretty much the same view. Yeah, I think we should go to bed now.
That's what got him into trouble in the first place.
Yes, up the wooden hill to Bedfordshire, down Sheet Street and round Blanket Corner. Ta-ta.
Bye.
Bye.
Nine Bob Note featured Paul Isles Rush and Ken Moss. Title music was by Mark Scheiman, and the programme was produced by Maverick Productions. For more information, please visit maverickproductionsuk.blogspot.com or find us on social media.